I wanted to give, a number of you have been asking about Arnie Wurmlinger. I know a while ago we had on the prayer chain that Arnie has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And so he was put into the hospital this week at RCH, not able to get around anymore on his own. But I was able to have a good visit with him at the hospital. And his spirits are good still, but you can tell his energy and things are going down. So we want to continue to appreciate prayers. He is open to visits. If he is tired, just keep the visit short. He's pretty good at saying, but you can also read that. So visits are appreciated, but it's just limit your time. That would be great. And also our oldest member in our congregation, John Van Dyke Sr., many of you don't know because he hasn't been able to get out for quite a while, but is also going into palliative care. And so I'd like to just pray for both of them today. Let's pray. Dear gracious Lord, we thank you that you demonstrated in your Son, Jesus Christ, your great love for us. And we thank you for our dear brothers, Arnie and John, who have put all of their weight and trust upon you. And that, Lord, that they are able to face these last of their earthly days, Lord, in the confidence that they are your children, that death has been defeated by you. And Lord, this is one of the great challenges. Probably the greatest challenge of faith comes, Lord, what do we really believe at the end of our earthly lives? And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who is totally faithful to your promises. And we pray, Lord, that even though outwardly they are wasting away, yet inwardly, Lord, may they be renewed day by your Spirit as you prepare each of them, Lord, for glory and for their loved ones as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you ever grow tired and weary? Not just weary from a day of shopping, I mean really weary. The truth is, our world has been weary throughout most of human history, weary of the darkness, the disappointments, the doubt, the pain, the fear. People throughout the ages, right up to the present, have felt it, including you and me. There have been seasons in my life when I have experienced weariness that felt bone deep. The way an icy wind chills us to the bone, and in our bone deep weariness, it's easy to despair and lose hope. If you've had a hard year, you may not feel much like celebrating Christmas. But I want to challenge and encourage you this morning not to let weariness have the last word. Throughout the ages, even in bone-deep weariness, others have found in Christ a thrill of hope, big enough for them to rejoice when they needed it most. And you can too. Indeed, this year I've decided to go with a theme that Ariel had suggested in the past, and which I had filed away in my Advent ideas file. This theme. When I opened the file months ago and stumbled upon it, the weary world rejoices. I knew this was the theme I needed, and I trust that in God's providence, it is the one that you need too. This theme may well sound familiar, not because we've used it before, but because it is borrowed from a line of one of our favorite Christmas carols, O Holy Night. Indeed, as I reflected on the words of that Christmas carol, I discovered the lines in it that addressed each of our Advent themes: hope, peace, joy, love. So even if you are feeling weary and bah humbug, I pray that you will find a thrill of hope this Advent when you need it most, like the people of God did long, long ago. One of the wonderful gifts that the Bible provides for us is stories of how God's people face of what they faced in the past and how God was with them through all of the seasons of life. God regularly sent messengers to his people when they needed it most. Many were prophets whose God-ordained role was, one writer summarized it as, disturbing the comfortable and comforting the disturbed. You see, they were sent to disturb those who were comfortable in their rejection of God and who also focused on oppressing those weaker and more powerless than them. There was actually an ancient affordability housing crisis in Israel. Isaiah 5 says, "Woe to you who add house to house and join field to field till no space is left and you live alone in the land. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, who acquit the guilty for a bribe but deny justice to the innocent." Some things never change. But the nation and leaders were unwilling to listen. It would only be after they had reaped the full consequences of their rebellious ways that they would become teachable again. And then the word that they needed would not be one of judgment, but one of restoration, of hope. Then they would need to comfort the disturbed. But Isaiah wasn't going to be around personally long enough for that to finally happen, for the nation to finally realize that they were doomed without God. And so God gave Isaiah messages of hope for the future, words that his disciples would cherish and preserve in the dark days ahead, until Israel was finally at last ready to hear them. One of his most famous messages of hope for the future that is read each Advent season was one referred to already by Ariel this morning, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. We're not going to look at this passage in detail this morning, but it is a wonderful example of God's promise to rebuild their hope when they thought all hope has been lost. For example, the images of hope there, the one is of utter darkness and then a great light. Another is of a great harvest that is coming. Another, a great liberation, and then finally a great hero that will bring in a great kingdom of peace and justice. But when Israel went into exile, they grew weary. In their bone-deep weariness, they lost hope. Because as Isaiah 40, verses 6 and 7 puts it, all people are like grass. All their faithfulness, like flowers of the field, the grass withers and the flower falls. So God used the prophetic words of Isaiah to revive their hope by replanting them in the person of God and his promises. This was essential for those whose world was so shattered that they lost all hope. Let's read the passage we are going to look at today, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, the end near the end of the chapter, verses 27 to 31. "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope or wait in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." This is the word of the Lord. What we have here at the end of Isaiah chapter 40 could be described as a divine counseling session. Israel is there, maybe on the bench, and God is listening. And in verse 27, we are given a window into the insidious doubt that has become deeply rooted in their minds. Doubt about the very goodness of God. That is a very ancient doubt already in Genesis 3, the original sin, casting doubt on the goodness of God. And it is also a very modern doubt, isn't it? Now, given all the pain and suffering, losses and disappointments that ancient Israel had experienced, many, by the way, that were the result of their own sin and folly, they'd given up hope that God even knew about them, let alone cared about them. Now, there is nothing wrong with being totally honest with God about how we feel. Within the Bible, especially the Psalms, the frequency and variety of laments in the Bible, they include praying our hurt, our anger, our fear, our doubt. All of these are voiced. Airing our complaints to God, getting it out in the open with Him, that is one thing. But giving our misguided feelings more credibility than the character of God, that is a recipe for disaster. You know, when I grew up on the prairies, there's a sign. It wasn't this one, but it was just like this one. The sign, usually on a road with deep ruts, because that's what happens when the rains come, is it choose your ruts carefully. You could be in them for a long time. The next 40 miles, this one has. God is saying that. And verse 27 is a window into how stuck in the rut they are and the deadly effect that it has had on their faith and trust and how firm we see and persistent God has to be to get them unstuck. I had an illustration of this. I was watching a news. I don't know if you watch Global TV. Fridays, Squire Barnes has satellite debris in which he has commercials from around the world. And here is an Australian commercial for a Toyota truck that I thought, this is worth looking at. I share that.
Told him, wouldn't listen.
Is that you, Jim?
Yeah, that's him. Case here too.
Oh, hi, Keith.
Well, the weather's cleared up.
Keep going.
You can forget about that ticket, Jim.
Cheers, Jim.
Oh, here he comes.
Bugger.
Should have known better. You don't send a Ute to do a Hilux job.
Toyota.
Are you stuck in a rut or a pit of doubt, of grief, of complaining, of addiction? Then don't trust in anyone less than the living God. Or perhaps you don't know or haven't heard that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. The double question that Isaiah uses in verse 28 is dripping with irony. How could anyone who has been part of the people of God have forgotten that the Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth? He's saying, just listen to yourselves, and you'll know how foolish you're being. God never grows tired or weary. No one can find the limits of his understanding. Amen? And the really good news is that he is not only powerful enough to bring an entire nation out of the pit of exile, but he also shares his power. Isaiah says he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. This will be demonstrated time and again in Jesus' ministry, won't it? He will find those weary, exhausted, give strength to them. Friends, we are not limited by our ability, but only by our capacity to rely on Him. Not our ability. If we're trusting in our ability, it's going to bottom out. But our capacity to rely on Him for what we need in the situation we're in, that is where hope is found. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure in jars of clay. He's describing himself as human beings. That this all-surpassing power that they saw in him, it's not from us. He talks about being hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, because of this power, superhuman power, God's power at work. As he experienced a decrease in resilience, he had to increase his reliance. And that's what God is saying. God does not become weary, but people do. Of course, there are some people that seem to have boundless energy. I was talking to some people who were looking after grandchildren for about a week. They looked rather weary. These kids with boundless energy, or young men, which, as commentator E.J. Young explains, were the choicest in the Hebrew culture, the most fit for athletic contests or military service. And despite their strength and training, they have limits. They too, Isaiah says, grow weary and exhausted to the point that they stumble and collapse. Even the great Vancouver Canucks center, J.T. Miller, right, has had to pull out indefinitely for a time. In the Old Testament, the mighty prophet, the greatest wonder-working prophet, Elijah, he tanked. He got into a pit so deep, only God could pull him out. The great apostle Paul, the list can continue. We may be surprised at these and our own limitations, but I can assure you, God is never surprised. He knows our weakness, that we are, in the words of Isaiah, like grass. He doesn't blame us for our weakness or hold it against us. He doesn't, you know, talk to me and say, Esau, don't be such a sissy. Suck it up, buttercup. No. But what God cannot understand, if I can put it that way, is why in our decreased resilience, in our weakness, we fail to increase our reliance upon him, when that is the only real source of hope. For those who wait, or hope, that word in Hebrew, that's because it's hope, because waiting isn't just like, I'm just waiting, sitting back. The word in Hebrew includes this idea of hope. And the image he will give is of an eagle with open wings on the edge of a cliff, if you will. Another occasion where it's used in the extra biblical literature in the ancient Near East, of a spider who has spun a web and now is waiting. Okay, anticipation. Those who hope and wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles because of the updraft of his spirit. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. The contrast between the youths who seem to have boundless energy but fall flat on their faces, the contrast between them and those who wait and hope upon the Lord could hardly be a sharper contrast, could it? And the verb used to describe those who wait on the Lord with outstretched arms, wings like an eagle, can be translated as they shall change or exchange their strength for his. That is, there's a better upgrade here. You're going to want to get that will enable them to soar, to run and walk. Each of those, because each is needed at different stages or places in one's journey. It's not all flying. It's not all running. It's not all walking. All paces are necessary at the right time and place in order to keep pace with God, who is usually in far less of a hurry than we are. Recognizing our God-given limits is essential. Luke tells us, for example, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely or desert places and prayed, God, I need a new, you know, strength because I'm growing weary. But Jesus also knew that he need not be limited by his human limitations, and that sometimes miracles were essential in God's plan for his life and in the lives of his followers. And we've seen those kind of miracles in the book of Acts that we've been looking at this fall, right? And so we need to be attentive to God because we don't know whether we need to wait, whether we need to wait upon his strength for what he's calling us to. And Jesus, in his very coming, combined the ordinary and the very extraordinary. And when all hope seemed lost, he came to bring a thrill of hope. A few applications, briefly. One is, God cares, and God can. Israel doubted God's care of them and his capability of bringing them out of that deep, deep pit of exile that had swallowed up so many. It had never been done before, a whole nation brought out of exile. God's like, but nobody else has done it except me. And so he personally challenged and counseled them to remember that he is great enough to be able to help, and he is near enough to want to help. Ultimately, God's coming in the person of his Son is the greatest evidence for us that God can be fully trusted to keep his promises. The cradle, for example, speaks of God's imminence, that is, his with us. The cross speaks of the extent of his love, no limits. And the crown speaks to his being the true ruler of all. Secondly, check, I think, and change your reliance. If you've grown weary, you're probably relying too much on your own abilities or, you know, on things that cannot, either you're counting too much on others. Check and change your reliance. Whose strength and ask yourself, whose strength and understanding am I relying on? What would it look like for me to actually wait and hope in the Lord? And thirdly, remember who God is. And Isaiah actually, he gives them some help in that. Verses 12 to 26, right before this, are like a breathtaking portrait of the character of God, of God as creator. And he will talk about it and he will give this line, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. You're just looking down at the problem. Look up to this Lord of creation. The sheer scale of creation is overwhelming and worthy of contemplation. I can remember one of the first times I was ever, it was the first time I was out in a small fishing boat out off the coast of Vancouver Island. Now, for a prairie boy who had never been out on the water, where you look in the distance and you can't see any land, okay, this is quite something. And I was talking to our fishing guide, you know, do you ever see whales out here? Oh, yeah, he said. And we had seen some boats go by who were looking for whales. And then about an hour later, all of a sudden, you know, about 15 feet from our boat, all of a sudden, the blow of a gray whale, and then this tail comes out of the water. I will never forget that experience because I felt so small. We were in a good-sized boat, and suddenly I felt so small. And I thought, if there are creatures like this, how much greater is God if I'm in awe of one of his creatures? So creation can help teach us about the awe and wonder of God, how much more the Creator. Nothing compares with the depth of his wisdom and understanding, he will say in verses 13 and 14. Compared to him, he will even say, the superpowers of the world are like a drop in the bucket, he says. That's why lift up your eyes to the heavens and look who created all of these. That will help you remember who this God is that is the Lord. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And as they're coming, no, it's not the worship team. No. Sorry, it's communion. I don't know if they're not playing for the communion. Got it, sorry. I was on the... Thanks. Let's pray together. Dear gracious Lord, we thank you that you are not just the God who is up there, but the God who came in the person of Jesus Christ as the most humble of your creatures to be with us in all of the ups and downs of life. You've shown us that you care deeply. And you've also shown us your capability. Within creation itself, you have shown that we should not limit you. Lord, this day, I don't know how deep the pit of despair that some are in. But Lord, I know that you are the one who can give us a thrill of hope, because that hope is rooted in your character and in your capability. Lord, help us to rely on you, to put our outstretched arms in prayer for the wind of your Spirit to come, to revive us, to give us new hope this day, and to share that hope with others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. And we're going to have music like that on the Share the Joy Christmas event on the 21st. That's one way. There are actually tickets available for that. They are free. But it's nice to have something that you can actually give out to somebody and say, here's a free ticket. You got insider, you know, however you want to use that. But there's an opportunity. You can pick those up at the Welcome Center if you'd like to. That way we also know how many people that we should be preparing for. And I just thought, I don't know about you, but I feel like I have been deeply enriched this morning. I was enriched in the Bible class that Pastor Stanley taught this morning. The numbers were few. You missed out on another great class. I tell you, 9 o'clock, you get another week to be able to join in on that. But the youth skit, I thought, I could use that this week. Can't you? Who's the greatest, you know, person at Christmas? You can tell about that. And don't miss, you know, how the one who started it all. No Christmas without him. It would be Chris Miss. M-I-S-A, right? Oh, there you go. I even thought of someone that I'm going to, I hope I have the opportunity to use that Toyota commercial with. Really? As I've thought about that more, I think that old guy saying, I told him, wouldn't listen. Isn't that just like the prophet Isaiah? And these people went into the pit. I just thought, I can use that. And I just know this person has been trying to get all but other ways of pulling themselves out of the pit and has not been working. So that's one of my takeaways is, well, God, I want to use that Toyota commercial, I think, in 2 minutes, maybe three. It could be a way of sharing the hope in you. So I don't know what it is for you. There were many opportunities this morning to take those and to share that with others. If you would like prayer, I think it's, yes, it is indeed. Betty and Shirley, part of our prayer team, will be available here at the right-hand side, your right-hand side. I know they would love to pray with you. And Advent choir, you got a few little bit more time to practice. That practices today after the service, so you can take a break. And then come back in here and be prepared to practice. And I want to send you off with Romans 15:13. It's one of my favorite verses I've shared with you before. But may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us go and serve the Lord.